Again, let me thank you so much for being here. And this will be the last session of this one. But as my wife said last night, throughout the remainder of this year, we'll be announcing at church. We'll have continuing sessions on this, maybe with a potluck. And so if you'll just keep your ears open for that, we'd love to have you come back and finish this with us. But if you have your books, we're going to go ahead and go into number three, looking at the third guardrail it's given to us. And this is the guardrail of kindness, the guardrail of kindness. And it gives us the verse there of Ephesians chapter 4, verse number 29, which tells us this. It says, "Let no corrupt or no worthless communication or speech proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of the edifying or the building up, that it may minister grace unto the hearers." So have you ever been to that place that you've ever stopped, stepped back and listened to ourselves and thought, wow, that was pretty harsh what I just said? You ever said something and then you kind of stand back and thought, man, I wish I wouldn't have said it, or I wish I wouldn't have said it that way in the way I said that. And a lot of us have. And sadly, the reality is the basic courtesy, what's sad is the basic courtesies that we show to strangers, sometimes we're more kind to strangers than we are to our own spouses.
Yeah.
And the way we speak to them, the cashier at Walmart or at Smith's, or just a person in passing at a restaurant, a waiter or a waitress. A lot of times we're kinder in our words that we speak to a complete stranger than we are to the ones that we dwell with and to those, our spouses. And so we want to be able to understand the guardrail and the importance of kindness. And in this, there's four simple rules of communication that we want to never do these things in the matter of speaking kindness. The first thing is this: never in an argument, never threaten one another with divorce. Never threaten your spouse with divorce. Unfortunately, a lot of times this is something that can be used as a weapon. As I was reading yesterday, you know, usually whoever mentions this first, they do it to try to get the other's attention and try to understand the as a threat almost in that. But once a door is cracked, even suggesting it is a possibility, you and I give Satan entrance to come in and to kick that door open. And so we ought to make a commitment that we would never use this word in any kind of argument that we may have. There's so many other words that you and I can address. But again, to threaten and being able to argument and threaten that with divorce, we should never, never cross that mind, across that bridge and that path to use that word.
Even if we don't mean it.
Yeah. I mean, even if you say it and in your back of your mind, you're like, I'm not going to, but you use that as a tool or a threat to try to get the attention of your spouse. Maybe you feel like your spouse hasn't been paying attention to you, not listening. You think, okay, I'll take it to the extreme. I'll throw this word out there, see if that doesn't get his or her attention in this. Don't ever use divorce in any communication or concept in your marriage, in your conversation. All right? And the second thing is this. Basically, never argue in front of the kids. Never argue in front of your kids. You see, the greatest gift that you and I can give to our children is to love our spouses. Hearing parents fight does not influence children. And so make it a rule that you'll stand united in love in their presence and work out disagreements privately. Because not only that, but you understand this, that if you argue in front of your kids, not only can it tear your kids apart and worry your kids. I can remember a conversation years back between my mom and dad, an argument that they had. And I can remember hearing that as a child. They weren't in the same room. They're in a different room. But I remember hearing that child. And the first thing that went to my mind was this: please, mom and dad, quit fighting because I don't want you to be divorced. That was my thought as a kid in that room. My parents were good people. I mean, they my mom was faithful in church. My dad, he went every once in a while. But I can remember as a kid, I sat in the room and almost in tears thinking, please stop fighting. Please stop fighting. I don't want to hear this. It's scary to a child because what a child thinks is when mom and dad are arguing, they're mad with one another, and then one of them is going to leave, one of them is going to walk out. And to a child, that's a scary thought, to put a child into that place. And not only that, you understand this, sometimes if a child can hear parents arguing, Sometimes a child can take sides. And that's never right. That they can hear an argument and they can say, well, Mom was right in what she was saying, and I'm going to stand with Mom because Dad shouldn't have done that. Dad shouldn't have said that, or Mom shouldn't have done that. And so that's Dad's fault, and that's Mom's. You know what you've just done? You've just torn down the authority in the eyes of your child by simply arguing. Don't ever, ever argue in front of your children.
Even when they get older, and we have a 26-year-old and a 29-year-old, and we're very careful to try not to do that in front of them even now. Yeah. But in the moments that has taken place, then you know, we realize it. And especially now that we're watching Brandon be married to his wife, and they just had a baby, and going through this newly married, learning each other still, you know, those first 5 years are like hard. But you know, we hope that we did something in those areas right to help them in their marriage. And so, but even as adults, we don't want to let our guard down and be argumentative with one another, disagreeable with one another, because still, we're still trying to live an example for them in their own marriage now. The marriage is the problem.
Absolutely. The next one is this. Never attack personally. Never attack personally. We talked a little bit this a while ago. Attack the problem. Be angry at the problem and not the person. Instead of accusing, try explaining your vantage point. Instead of accusing immediately, well, you did this or you did this, try to come at it at a point that you try to explain your vantage point on why you did what you did or why you made the decision you made. And do it with a vantage point. Come around and say, babe, here's why I did that. And here's why, you know, I made this choice. We went this way. And showing your vantage point. And don't pressure to know your spouse's motives or turn an action into a lack of character. Never attack them personally in this. But again, and then the next one is this. Take breaks during tense moments. When there's those times of arguments and fighting, we need to learn to take breaks. Have you understand that sometimes when an argument arises and both parties' hair standing on end and eyes aflame, the best thing is both parties to take that break. No one to say, hey, we'll talk about this later. I'm going to go over here. I'm going to walk over here, breathe. You go into your room and breathe. There in those tense moments, and when we can come back. And the reason being is this, because again, it's in those moments that we can say those words that can absolutely destroy. And again, it doesn't take but 30 seconds to say anything that can absolutely destroy the testimony or just the demeanor of an individual in the words that we speak. But being able to, again, take breaks during these moments when we sense frustration or anger rising, take a few moments to collect your emotions and remember that you love your spouse before re-engaging him or her. Proverbs chapter number 29 and verse number 11. Proverbs 29:11, it says this, a fool uttereth or shouts forth all of his mind, but a wise or an intelligent man keepeth it until afterwards. If you study that word fool there, the definition of fool is stupid. So what it's saying here is that a stupid person uttereth or shouts out all of his mind or breath. Basically it's saying this, I'm going to tell you exactly, and you're going to listen to how I feel. I'm going to tell you why I'm angry. I'm going to tell you why I'm mad, and I'm going to share, and I'm going to let it all come out right here and right now. He says, that's what a fool does, uttereth all of his mind, but a wise or an intelligent man, he keepeth it until afterwards, holds it in.
I know I'm guilty of, in this area where we should be taking breaks, how I exit the conversation. It's usually, a lot of times it's not good, and I try to work on that. So we get to that moment, and then it's tense, and then my exit is quite dramatic. You know, I could be this fool very easily, uttering all my mind as I exit the room, slamming the door, and the next door, and any other door that I can find, and I can slam shut. Like, the way we exit is really important, too. Like, yes, let's take a break in that tense moment, but let's also be careful with our exit. because I can, and he knows, I can be just so full of it that I'm just like, oh, fine, you know, and I'm doing the right thing by leaving the conversation, but I leave it with a quite the theatrical exit, and that's always not a good thing.
And you know, sometimes you don't have to say words that are cutting and hurtful. A lot of times when I can get upset with her is when I say something, you know, and I say something and she responds sarcastically back to me. Boy, that can make me mad. If I'm saying something like, you know, she's in the kitchen, she's cooking eggs, and I walk in, and, you know, what are you doing? What does it look like I'm doing? I'm cooking eggs. I'm sitting there thinking, I got to turn and walk away. See, sometimes it doesn't necessarily have to be hateful words. It doesn't have to be words that are piercing. Sometimes it can be in the delivery of the way that we say things. All right.
Remember, so we have to be careful night, because I said, and the other night I said, you know what? There's those moments where people ask questions that are so unnecessary. We talked about this. I confessed it already. I'm just telling you.
I'm guilty of it. I'm guilty.
But my response is terrible. And I shouldn't respond sarcastic like that. I do know that it's very rude and disrespectful.
And so, but we want to be careful how we respond to one another and how we talk to one another. And so,
amen.
You know what, man, when this is all said and done, y'all going to know everything about me. Y'all probably don't even want to listen to us anymore. Y'all probably think, man, these people are horrible to each other. What are they thinking? Why are they teaching this class? So, the next one, number four, is the guardrail. Here we go. The guardrail of edification. We're going to build each other up, all right? The guardrail of edification. Again, that's back in Ephesians chapter number 4 and verse number 29. Again, he says, let no corrupt communication proceed on thou, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister unto the grace of the hearers. And the word edifying there, it just simply means this. It means to build up. That when you and I speak words, we want to make sure that we are able to edify one another. What does that mean? We want to build each other up. We want to build each other up in the things that we're doing, build each other up, and not tear each other down. And being able to edify and using those words of encouragement, those words as building blocks instead of coming in and knocking the stones down and the foundations that are set. And so we want to, again, be able to edify. And this is the action that love does, is that it builds others up. 1 Corinthians chapter number 8, verse number 1, the Apostle Paul, he says, now as touching things offered unto idols, we know that we all have knowledge, but knowledge puffeth up, but charity or love, that's the agape love, it edifies. The love of Christ, which, again, gentlemen, husbands, love your wives as Christ so loved the church. What is that? That means the words that you and I speak to our wives ought to be words that edify her, that build her up. Let me be true with you, gentlemen. Your spouse, she ought to be your queen. And you ought to treat her like she's your queen. You ought to build her up, and you ought to tell her on a daily basis how beautiful she still is to you. If she doesn't keep herself like she used to, chances are you don't keep yourself the way you used to either. But she ought to be your princess. She ought to be your queen. And she ought to be treated in such a way. We're the ones that have been told to love them. And in love, what is it? It's edifying. It's building up. To let them know that they're still the apple of your eye. They're still the one when you see them, the hair on the back of your neck stands up when you see them. You still see them whistle at your wife every once in a while. All right? Let her know. My wife was walking the other day. I'd already walked, and she was walking outside the fence. I was still on the other side of the fence. And I thought, I'm going to be so romantic right now. And she was just the giving. I mean, she was going and sweating. And I was on the other side of the fence, and she walked by. I said, I can't whistle very good. I said, whew, whew, something like that, because I can't whistle very good. She's a walk. She looks up, and she's just like. And I thought, all right, well, Lord, I tried that one to see if that would help any, but she was on a mission.
I couldn't breathe. I was tired.
She was on a mission. But she looked right up at me like, goofball, what are you doing? She just kept on walking. I thought, okay. Mark that one down. Won't ever do that one again. And so, but to just be able to just build up into every edify. You see, every time we use words to criticize, what we're saying to our spouse is, I don't love you. When we speak words of encouragement and praise, we are communicating love in one of the most meaningful, one of the most powerful ways is to edify. And to edify one another, lift up one another, encourage, exhort. Again, tell them what they mean to you. Whether it's communicating with words or even if it's leaving a letter, leaving a little note, getting a card. And, you know, not waiting till Valentine's Day or their birthday. If you're Smith or Walmart and you're walking by, grab some flowers, grab a rose, grab a card. If you don't put anything else in it, put, I just wanted to let you know I'm thinking about you and I love you. And give it to her in that. Build her up. Edify in your words and in your actions. And the same thing, wives for your husbands, to build us up. Because sometimes it's as a husband, it can be very overwhelming to if we lead our homes the way we're supposed to. It's very overwhelming sometimes to be that leader and to step out and all the things that come with that. And just to hear the edification from a wife to be able to say, hey, the greatest thing my wife can ever tell me, hands down, is four words. And it's, I'm praying for you. She tells me that so often. She'll tell me that before I preach. She'll tell me that as I'm going through the day. And that absolutely, Brother Rick, builds me up with an excitement to be able to say, hey, I can keep going forward. Because I not only know that my God's with me, but I got a wife who's praying for me. And just that edification of her telling me, hey, I'm praying for you today. And I just want you to let you know I'm loving you. I love you. Man, that in itself, money can't buy that back, what that does to me. And so the power of words and edifying is so very, very important. You see, words are absolutely so powerful. And it says that they minister grace unto the hearers. Words are so important that when you and I edify one another, it ministers grace to our spouse when we share with them. The kindness of our Savior through the words that we speak and the kindness that we share with them. I was reading this illustration yesterday. It said there was a husband, he was reading an article to his wife. And in this article, he said, babe, do you understand that they say, a study says, that women use 30,000 words a day. I want to take a nap just hearing that. He said, men use on the average 15,000 words a day. Women, 30,000 words a day. He said, the wife said, that's because we have to repeat everything to men that we say to you. And in saying that, the husband turned to the wife and said, what? And so that is a true statement on how it goes. Women, now I understand why you have to say 30,000 words, because you have to repeat everything to us twice. And then even at that, the response you're going to get from us is, from our nothing box is, what? And so, getting to closing, I want to show you seven ways we can use our words to build one another, the importance of words. Number one, or letter A is this, building words give instruction and wisdom. Building words will give instruction and give wisdom. And there's so much. I was talking to Brother Rick Sussitz earlier this morning. I said, it's amazing to me the wisdom that's in this word that so many of us do not know because we don't read it and study it like we should. Proverbs chapter 10, I want you to look at verse 31 with me if you would. Again, that building words give instruction and wisdom. It says, the mouth or the words of the just or the right bringeth forth wisdom, but the froward or the perverse tongue or language shall be cut out. Then you look at chapter 15, verse number 2. He says, the tongue or the word of the wise useth knowledge aright or well, but the mouth of fools poureth out foolishness. And then chapter 16, verse 23, the heart or the understanding of the wise teacheth his mouth and adds learning or doctrine, or again, increasing to his lips. Building words, what can they give? They can give instruction and wisdom. And you and I, as, again, men, we have the importance to lead our wives. How can we lead our wives? We can lead our wives in the words that we speak, the edifying words, because we know the Bible teaches here that they instruct and they give wisdom. Then you see the next one is that building words give direction. They give direction. Proverbs chapter number 19 and verse number 20. It says, hear counsel or hear advice or a purpose and receive instruction or correction that thou mayest be wise in thy latter end. So we see that building words here give direction. Then Proverbs 27 in verse number 9, the Bible teaches and tells us here, ointment and perfume rejoice the heart of their understanding. So doth the sweetness of a man's friend by what? Hearty counsel or the words that he can speak or they can speak. So building words, edifying words can absolutely give direction in our life as well. Then the next thing is that building words praise the Lord. Building words can praise the Lord. You look at Psalms chapter 34, in verse number 1. How that, again, our building words can praise the Lord. Psalms 34, 1 says, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise, his hymn or his word shall continually or always be in my mouth. Then you look at Psalms 51, verse number 15. He says, O Lord, open thou my lips, and my mouth shall show forth or declare thy praise. What is it that building words do? Building words praise the Lord. As we said earlier, I love sitting down with her and being able to just praise the Lord for what he's done for us. We look back at what God has done for us, the faithfulness of our God and the blessings that we have. And we're able to encourage one another in this by being able to not praise one another, but to praise our God with these building words. Because in praising our God, guess what that does to us? That edifies and builds us up to understand that we have a God and the promises of our God are true and sure. And we can look back and think, God, I can keep going on. Why? Because you are a good God and we want to praise you in that. And so building words also, they do what? They praise the Lord. Then you're going to see this, building words encourage others. Back in Proverbs chapter number 25, verse number 1.
I love it.
Verse 11. Thank you, babe. Proverbs 25, 11.
What if I got to sit up here while you preach? That'd be
wonderful, wonderful. Proverbs 25, 11. It says, a word or an answer fitly spoken is like apples of gold and pitchers of silver. Then chapter 15, in verse number 23, he tells us here, he says, a man hath joy or gladness by the answer or the reply of his mouth, and a word spoken in due season or in good time, how good is it? Then Isaiah chapter 50, in verse number 4. Isaiah 50, verse number 4. The Lord God hath given me the tongue or the language of the learned or as a disciple that I should know how to speak a word in season to him that is weary or faint or fatigued. He wakeneth every morning by morning. He wakeneth mine ear to hear as the learned. And so you see that building words also are able to encourage others.
It's amazing if we just sit and listen to these things. In my mind, I'm going back over recent conversations, last night's conversations, the day before's conversations. And I think, man, if we could just apply the word and think about our words spoken in due season and the right words and pleasant words and the praising words, instead of some of the words that I've used just this week, I'm thinking, you know, that could change the direction of the whole day, our week. It can change our whole relationship, really, if I'm just more careful with the words that I'm using in the conversation or my responses or, you know, to lessen the sarcasm, to be more edifying. You know, what trajectory would that put us on as a couple? You know, have you ever known that couple that, because we've been this couple, you're on your way to church, you got the kids in the back, or we've even been here without the kids, and we are going at it about something, and we're just having our, you know, an argument, just going back and forth, and then we get out in the parking lot, we get out of the car, and somebody says, oh, good morning. We're like, oh, good morning. You know, we act like we got our church voice on, we got our church attitude back on, and we go on. But we could come in with a genuine spirit if we're just more careful with our words.
Absolutely. And then you see that building words are pleasant and appropriate. Building words are pleasant and appropriate. Proverbs 10:32 says, "The lips and the speech of the righteous or those that are just know what is acceptable, but the mouth of the wicked speaketh forwardness or perverseness." Chapter 15 and verse 26. It says, "The thoughts of the wicked are an abomination to the Lord, but the words of the pure or the clean in heart are pleasant or agreeable words." Then if you look with me to chapter 16 and verse 24, he says again, "Pleasant or kind words are as a honeycomb, sweet to the soul, and health or healing to the bones." And then chapter 31, verse 26, "She openeth her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law or the speech of kindness." And so you see there that again, these building words are pleasant and appropriate. But then we also understand the next one is that building words facilitate healing. Building words can also facilitate and bring about a healing. Proverbs chapter number 10 and verse number 11. It says, "The mouth of the speech of a righteous man or a just man is a well of life, but violence covereth the mouth of the wicked." So you see that even the words can facilitate healing in our life. Proverbs 15, verse number 4. The Bible tells us here, it says, "A wholesome or a healing tongue is a tree of life, but perverseness therein is a breach in the spirit." And then chapter 12, and verse number 18. The Bible says, "There is that speaketh like the piercings of the sword, but the tongue of the wise is health."
We go back to yesterday, and we were talking about, how we pay each other in that currency. And for our husbands to listen to the woman, we are going through something, or we've walked through something, and we're seeking out just that listening ear. You know, we're not seeking out the problem solver, the fix-it upper. We just want somebody to sit there and listen to our hearts, not tell us, what we should have done, not tell us, oh, you could do this one, or, hey, let me go approach this person for you. We don't need any of that. Sometimes we just need this communication, these building up words that will bring that healing, that will bring that wisdom, that will bring that calmness and that peace into our heart. And so that communication, this communication piece is so important, because when we are speaking, when we are sharing, we don't necessarily need you to go out there and be our defender. We don't need you to tell us what we could have done, should have done. We don't need you to tell us, I would have done it this way. We just need you to listen. Be sorrowful for our heart if it's hurting. Just be there to be our knight in shining armor that's going to love us anyway, help us do better next time, whatever. But these communication words, these building up words, play such a role in that peace, that currency that we're looking for when we're looking for that opportunity to communicate and to share our hearts with you guys in that safe place, that safe sharing.
All right. The next one is that building words, the last one there, bring security and truth. They bring security and they'll bring truth. And he gives us there Proverbs 22, verses 20 and 21. It says, "Have not I written to thee excellent things in counsels or in purpose or advice and knowledge, that I might make thee know the certainty or the truth of the words of truth or right, that thou mightest answer the words of truth to them that sent unto thee." And so you see that, again, building words are so important in bringing security and bringing truth. And as we've gone through this journey and understanding that marriage is not a destination, but it's a journey. I read this yesterday in the book. It says, "Communication is a two-lane highway, and it works best if we keep moving on it. There may be frustration on the way, but it is the highway to happiness in mine and your marriage." Tell you how important that communication is. Funny story, and I'll be through unless my wife has more to add. We were in Parkview. We were in Waco, Texas, going to church on, I believe it was a Sunday night. Our boys were both pretty young. They were in the back seat, and I was driving on a two-lane road, or four-lane road. And my wife was in the seat next to me, and we're driving. We're talking. All of a sudden, a car pulls in front of us. A car in front of us, a little sports car, is a convertible, had three girls in it. I'm sitting there driving, mind you, okay? The car pulls in front of us. One of the girls stands up in the back and just takes her top off, literally right in front of our car. I'm driving, mind you. My wife does this. Don't you dare look. So long before Carrie Underwood came up with the song, I said, Jesus, take the wheel. I didn't know what else to do at that point in that time. I'm sitting there and I said, babe, you either got to move your hand or we're going to die. It's your decision. You do whatever you want to do, but you got to do something. She said, I don't want you looking. Then yell at the car in front of me to get out of the way because I can only look one direction or we're going to die in this. And so, but that's just the way life is sometimes. You get on that road together and thank God for our spouses as we travel that road. Sometimes there's things that are funny. Sometimes there's those things that are heartbreaking. But the one thing's for true, that if we'll stand together under, listen to me, the leadership of our Heavenly Father, to men be the leaders that God's called us to be and to love our wives, wives to be able to respect and to honor, to come under the authority of your husband given to him by God the Father, to follow him, to pray for him, to communicate with one another, and to do these things. This conference is not going to help you have a better marriage. The Word of God that we read will. Yeah. We've just given you tools and illustrations and stories. But if you and I are going to have the right kind of marriage, we've got to take what God told us to do and understand our roles, understand His promises, understand His blessings. It's God who brought you together. It's God who will bless you if you and I will follow Him, husbands and wives both.
So, I have this one more story about our words using tact, which I did not use that day in the car, but it's called The Dog is on the Roof. It says, tact is one of those lost arts of the 20th century. I heard about a man who lacked tact. He was the type of person who just couldn't say anything graciously. He and his wife owned a poodle, and they loved this dog, and it was the object of their affection. The wife was to take a trip abroad, and she made it to New York on the first day, and she called home and asked her husband, "How are things?" He said, "The dog's dead." She was devastated. After collecting her thoughts, she asked, "Why do you do that? Why can't you be more tactful?" He said, "Well, what do you want me to say? The dog died." She said, "Well, you could give it to me in stages. For example, you could have said, the dog went out on the roof. And then when I traveled to London the next day and called you, you could tell me, honey, the dog fell and I had to take him to the vet. In fact, he's in the hospital not doing well. And finally, when I call you from Rome, honey, brace yourself. Our dog died. I could handle that." He said, "Okay, I understand." And then she said, "So how's mother doing?" "Well, mother went out on the roof." That's how it ended.
So, but anyway, again, throughout this year, we'll do some more of these. We'll have like a potluck and do, so we hope you're listening for that announcement when the dates when we would do that. And, we got to do some drawings first, but after we do these drawings, Brother Joey, I'm going to ask you to close us in prayer after we do these drawings, if you would. And again, let me just say thank you so much for your faithfulness to your Lord, your faithfulness to be here. And I hope that you have enjoyed it. I hope that you still respect me and my wife after hearing the things that we've done. And so, but we're certainly thankful to have all of you here. And so.